Hello and welcome to another edition of Detroiters Think Big, a small business podcast presented by Rocket Mortgage. I'm your host, Devin O'Reilly, Director of Entrepreneurship at the Detroit Regional Chamber. My guest today is Jeffrey Gistinar, founder, owner, pretty much everything at Good Cookies. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me here.
Oh, we're happy to have you. And a great topic, not only small business, but baked goods, which are near and dear to my heart. So as we usually do, why don't we start kind of, I guess you could say, from the beginning and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the cookie business.
I've always cooked and made things in the kitchen all my life. So growing up, my mother, she grew up in the restaurant industry. So her parents, they owned a couple of restaurants in St. Louis, Missouri. So just when I was younger, I always cooked and baked and things. So, but as I got older, I enjoyed it, you know, and it would help to relax me. So being in real estate, I'm a real estate broker. So just every day with the real estate, I would come home and it would be something that would help to relax me. So I would go in the kitchen and I would make cookies. So it got to the point where I was making cookies all the time. And my wife would take them to work for people to try. And it just got to the point where I was making like a lot of cookies. And we just ultimately decided to turn it into more of something we can make money from ultimately. So in 2012, I had come up with nine different recipes for different types of cookies. So we had family and friends over to our place, about 20, 25 folks. And I made small samples of each cookie so people could give me their feedback. So once they gave me their feedback on each one, and then I had different names there for them to give me feedback on names or give me, you know, what they thought would be a good name for a company. It went over well. Everyone loved the cookies. That was 2012. January 2013, I started the business. I actually formed a LLC. And then it was just more so word of mouth. So I was in my real estate and then I'd come home and bake and then people would find out about it. And then I'd have some orders and it started to grow from there, you know. And then ultimately as it grew, customers started asking me, when am I going to have an actual site for them to come and just get the cookies? So that's when in 2018 I purchased a site, a brick and mortar over on Northwest Detroit side. And it's the neighborhood I grew up in over in North Rosedale Park. And so I purchased a building in 18 and then I started building the building out in 2019, probably July. And so we started working on it. And let me back up prior to that. As soon as I bought the building, I had applied for Detroit Motor City Match. So I won the Detroit Motor City Match probably maybe 3 months after I purchased the building because I had already applied for it. So started in 19, started building it out. And then early 20, was moving pretty good. And then all of a sudden COVID hit. So I was shut down, you know, My real estate company was shut down. So,
you hadn't opened the brick and mortar yet.
I had not. So, I mean, I had a business that was online business. I was doing some online, but everything was shut down. So we weren't finished. So we had to, you know, we had things, we still were finishing up the brick and mortar. So during COVID, just to, you know, because at that time, you know, my wife was home, she was home working. And so I wouldn't go crazy. I would go to the building and just work myself. because the main part for the heavy contractors was pretty much complete. So I would just go in there and paint it the entire place. So I would just go in there.
You had to do a whole remodel of the building. It wasn't in any kind of shape when you got it.
No, the when I purchased the building, it used to be a hair salon. So okay. It was a hair salon that ironically it was vacant since 2013. And I started the actual business. I filed an LLC in 2013. So I tell folks that they shut down because they knew I was coming to purchase the actual building. So when I purchased the building and I went inside, you know, it was just like a full-fledged hair salon. I mean, it had the mirrors, it had the shampoo sinks and hair dryers. I mean, it was just like they picked up their things and just walked out. So
but nothing you could convert to cookie making.
No, I you know, because if I could have, I would have, especially with the money that I had to put into it. So but I tried to get folks to come in and pick up the hair dryers and everything. I said, you can have them. I said, the only stipulation is that I'm not going to bring it to you. I'm not going to help lift it or anything. So, but they didn't come until it was too late. So finally I had to gut the entire, everything in the building because it was just a mess. So we had to tear out all the drywall, and by it being shut down for so long, you know, the walls, they were, had some mold on the walls and it was mildewy, the ceiling. So I just gutted it all the way down to the brick. We took the wooden studs out. All of the electrical was horrible. It was like, it was horrible. And so we took everything out and just to the bricks. And then my architect, we worked together and, drew it out. And of course, constantly made changes and then just built everything from scratch, you know. So, you know, there was a lot of things that were already set because there were, you know, the bathroom. So different things were already there. We just kind of had to shift things around a little bit, you know. But yeah. I had to do everything. Yes.
So how was prior to kind of the brick and mortar, how was the online business going? Did you have a good streamlined process for that, or were you kind of just winging it, or how did you have that process set up for online?
Yeah, you know, initially I was just kind of winging it, you know, and I had more so because my holiday times were the times where people would reach out the most, you know. And then I had customers throughout the years, because mind you, I'm still running, you know, my real estate company. So, you know, I still, had, you know, customers who would, you know, reach out and things. But right before we started, you know, building it out, I redid, you know, I had a new website built. And so as we were building it, I was putting that together. So I started pushing it more during COVID because folks were able to, you know, to order things online and do a pickup or some, you know, we would take some, you know, to their homes. So it increased during that time. So it, you know, it gave me an opportunity to really sit down and figure out how this was going to work. So as time went on, you know, the actual website business, I kind of got the hang of it more. So even once the website was moving, you know, we still hadn't opened yet. So because we were still finishing up, and then, you know, it was so many different things we would open, meaning we would be able to do website stuff. And then with things with COVID happening, you know, it slowed down. So, you know, just at the point where, you know, the website just all of a sudden just took off, you know. So we still were waiting to get our final certifications from the city. And still even today have probably one thing that we're fighting with. But over the holidays, our website, it really helped out, you know. It helped out just to keep things moving along, you know, paying all the things that needed to be paid. So so we're actually looking to hopefully be open full-fledged by the end of this month.
That's fantastic. And, you know, it's sometimes rare. It's great to hear a business that is going to be opening for the right. first time post-pandemic. That's really awesome. You know, unfortunately, you usually hear kind of the other direction. So it's great to hear that you're opening your brick and mortar finally. Can you talk a little bit about what you see as, you know, you've been online and that's obviously been going well enough. What are going to be the advantages of having a brick and mortar to you, or what's going to be the kind of the extra added value of having that physical shop?
So for me, I've always loved going into coffee shops and just kind of hanging out and, you know, and just, you know, doing work and things. So for me to have a space in the neighborhood that I grew up in, in an area where there's not really anything over there where folks can actually walk to and say, hey, I'm gonna go over here and get me some Great Lakes coffee, because we partner with Great Lakes also. Or, you know, I can go over here and just hang out. You know, we have Wi-Fi, just a comfortable setting. And then we'll have breakfast scones, you know, some things in the morning, because folks can't just come to the shop and just eat cookies all day.
They might want to. But...
True. So for me, it's a place where folks can come and just hang out, gather. They can have meetings, things for the community, you know, where they're able to come have their meetings. I want to be able to have younger folks, you know, with right in the neighborhood to, you know, to be able to come and work, and where I can just teach them entrepreneurship. You know, I've been an entrepreneur or self-employed for probably the last 32 years. So it's just something that with COVID, we've learned so much about entrepreneurship, you know, meaning folks are really geared towards going into business themselves. I think that space will serve as a place for folks to come in, hang out, and for me to actually teach. I love to teach. You know, I'm that, you know, folks always say when they get a new agent, a new real estate agent, they want, you know, they ask, can they come under me? Because I'll teach. But I just think it's important to whatever you do to learn every aspect of it that you can, so you can do a good job. So I'm just looking forward to having that place in the neighborhood that you can just come home and walk up the street and, you know, hang out. And ultimately, you know, we'll have some other events there also, you know, as it gets later. You know, the plan is just to be open initially on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. And then grow. And then we have a parking lot also. So the fact of having the parking lot, it's a nice sized lot, then we can have an outside area also where folks can come and hang out outside in the parking lot. So meaning with you know, with seating and things. So but yeah. I'm looking forward to, that's kind of a thing that I wanted to do for, I mean, I don't know, 20 years, just to have a space where people can come and hang out.
Yeah, that's incredibly valuable to have those spaces. And we've talked to other individuals on this podcast who that was their goal, was to make a place in their neighborhood where people could gather, people could, you know, relax, meet each other, things like that. So you mentioned a few things. So it's obviously good cookies is the name, but you've got other stuff. So you're going to have coffee, you're going to have other baked goods. You've got the Great Lakes coffee, which is amazing. Great Lakes is, you know, fantastic coffee. Are you going to be doing the baking of all the stuff? Are you just focusing on the cookies and bringing the other stuff in? How's that set up?
No, everything there will be made there, you know, and for me, that's important because I'm kind of anal with that. So I need to know what's going in the product, you know, and I like to change things a lot, you know. I mean, like for my chocolate chip cookies, you know, you figure a basic chocolate chip cookie, I've changed the recipe 9 times over since probably 2011. But it's just the thing where you're looking at something and say, why is this cookie flat? Or why is this cookie too puffy? You know, or why is it dry? So, you know, these are things like the different breakfast scones and maybe, not maybe, but also a couple breakfast quiche These are things that I've been working on for years, just, you know, coming up with the recipes, making the recipes at home. So, but at the same time, they're things that are easy to make, you know, so it's not like it's a real heavy lift as far as making these other products. And I understand at some point I'm going to have to help get someone else in to kind of help me with that piece. But I know initially it will be me in there actually orchestrating and making all these products. Yes, you know, folks will be there to help me, but it has to be the same every time. And that's the key. So when someone takes a bite of a cookie or a scone or whatever, it has to taste the same and look the same every time.
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely sound like you're meticulous about your craft for sure. So thinking about that, can you talk a little bit about the product? Now, I don't want you to give away any kind of secrets or recipes, but what do you think makes your cookies and baked goods so special?
So I tell folks for all my things, if you're on a diet, my stuff is not for you. I use real ingredients, butter and sugar and, you know, and good vanilla. And what makes them, you know, and I tell folks, I said, you know, I can tell the difference in my cookies if I'm not having a good day, you know, and I have put the same ingredients in them, you know, but I'm just my mind is somewhere else and I'm making cookies. And to me, they look different. So, but, you know, it's about being particular as to what goes in and what type of products go into your cookies. You know, I'm big on, I mean, I tell folks, they say, well, what kind of sugar you use? And I use Pioneer sugar because that is, I mean, that's the sugar out of all the different sugars I've tried, you know, that's the sugar that actually meshes with my recipes the best, you know, and for me, it's not too sweet. It's just sweet enough. So I, you know, I try to do whatever products I can do locally because it's important. And I believe that in this ecosystem, we have to continue to support each other in order for us to all keep moving forward. So I'm big on trying things out because you can have flour that a particular flour, and everyone thinks flour is all the same, but it's not all created equal, just like sugar is not all created equal, just like vanilla. So it came from me just trying different things, and I still try different things, you know, like because my recipes, my signature cookie is a sugar with lemon zest. So that cookie is it's my number one seller. So it's a sugar cookie and I zest fresh lemons. And every time, and I squeeze fresh lemon juice. But it's the thing where I've had to tweak it over the years. But now it's to the point where it's just how I like it. So I guess the thing for me is I'm continuously improving, you know, and just always. And if it's something that's just not quite right, I fix it. And I'm good with folks saying, hey, you know, that tasted a little different. Or, hey, you know, why don't you try this? So I got a couple friends of mine that I would make something different. I'd call them and say, hey, come try these out. And then, you know, one of my buddies said, why won't you make a double chocolate chip cookie with walnuts and cherries? And I said, what? You know, I said, what? So I said, okay. So I made them, and then they just kind of, it blew them away. You know, the first time I made them, they were good. Then I started thinking about things that would make them more moist. Cause you know, when you put, you know, the walnuts in there, it makes things, it starts to dry it out a little bit. So you got to put something else to keep it moist. So ultimately I love when folks, you know, email me. I get emails all the time from the website, you know, can you make this or can you make that? Or I've been trying to get this particular cookie for years and I haven't found anyone who can make it. So I love that. You know, I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm up for it. Yeah, I love it. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night with the recipes in my head and I have to write it down, you know, real quick before I go back to sleep, you know, but I definitely love creating. But also I like traditional cookies. So I'm not someone, you know, and then, you know, other places, you know, they do stuff and they do it well with the Fruity Pebbles and all the different stuff and the cookies. And that's just not, you know, I've had folks ask me about that, but that's not what I do. What I do is a traditional cookie. You know, when you bite it, you're going to be like, wow, you know, it has a slight crunch on the outside, moist on the inside. And but it's just a traditional oatmeal raisin chocolate chip cookie, you know, double chocolate chip, you know, shortbreads. It's just a traditional. When you bite it, it's, you know, you're not getting all this other frill. You're getting the ingredients. You know, you eat a oatmeal raisin cookie. You're tasting the raisins. You're tasting the vanilla, a little bit of salt, the cinnamon. You know, so that's for me is yummy. Yeah, you know,
it sounds delicious. So how many different types of cookies can anyone expect in a given day from your, you know, how many varieties do you usually have?
Probably between 8 and 10 cookies, you know, just depending on what that particular day is like. But as a norm, we'll usually have about 8 cookies. But even those cookies, so we'll probably have like 8 cookies that are on the counters that you can come in and get, you know. But if you want, because all our cookies, we make them fresh every day. So if you wanted something different, so say if it's just regular oatmeal raisins there, you know, then we may have an oatmeal raisin with walnuts or pecans there also. But if you want something different, you can order it, you know, and say, hey, I want an oatmeal raisin with pecans and chocolate chips, you know, or I want a peanut butter cookie with chocolate chips, you know. So certain things that, you know, it won't be an everyday thing, but it's not like you can't get them. You know, we'll have a particular cookie of the, you know, of the month. So we'll have a board and say, this is the one, you know, for the month. But as a norm, you know, we'll try to have about 8 on, you know, on deck every day. Sure.
Great. So as we wrap up here, I want to get kind of to the basics of your business so we can make sure that people know how they can get some of these cookies. So right now you mentioned you're online. Are you taking online orders now? Are you open only Thursday through Sunday online?
No, I'm taking online orders now. At justeatgoodcookies.com.
Justeatgoodcookies.com.
Justeatgoodcookies.com. Yeah.
All right. Well, make sure we plug that website and get people over there to check that out. And then you talked about the opening of your store, maybe not the grand opening, maybe the soft opening. When do you anticipate people will be able to come check you out?
So I'm working to hammer out this last piece. I'm looking to do it to have just the, because I'd like to open and be open for about a month or so. Before an actual grand opening. So by the end of the month. So, you know, our space is at 19007 West McNichols over in North Rosedale Park. So I'm looking to be open by the end of this month, you know, so we can get going. And so once we're open, it'll be Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays to start.
Great. Yeah. And you know, that'll probably expand once the weather warms up and you have the ability to make use of outdoor space and hopefully people are getting out and about. So that'll be great. I can't wait to check it out. Well, it's always great to talk to somebody who's passionate about their craft, who's, you know, like you said, meticulous about what you do and the quality of the product. It's always great to kind of learn from someone who really takes passion in that. So thank you so much, Jeffrey, for joining us today.
Devin, I appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for today. Please tune in for more available content and podcasts at DetroitChamber.com.